So we are now looking at these four birth stories this Advent, which all point us to the birth. The birth. Four stories from the Old Testament that foreshadow Jesus' birth in the new. Last week, Pastor Cindy showed us how God delivered his people through Moses, who was himself delivered at birth by the Hebrew women with their courage and Pharaoh's own daughter. And then we celebrated our freedom in Christ together here, our liberation together in communion. Well, let's turn back to Genesis today, to the birth of Isaac, whose name means laughter. And yes, this one is a little out of order in our series because of that snow day a couple weeks ago. But it's crucial to see just why God chose Isaac, what he was trying to show us with such an impossible birth. So let's hear now the word of the Lord. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside, and he said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And now we skip down to chapter 17, verse 15. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abram fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abram said to God, If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Then we go on to chapter 18, a few verses there. Beginning at verse 9. Where is your wife, Sarah? The angels asked Abram. She's there, in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and she said, I did not laugh. But he said, Yes, you did laugh. Then we go to the birth of Isaac proper in chapter 21, just a few verses there. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time that God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm not sure you did, but if you felt like those skits this morning were a bit of a downer, I have another treat for you here today. It's from Canadian artist Bruce Cockburn, and it's a little ditty that's called Laughter. As you know, there are two kinds of laughter. Genuine laughter right from the belly, full of joy and hope and warmth, and cynical laughter, full of doubt and despair, like Abram's and Sarah's was here at first. I'll let you decide which one is Cockburn's here in this song, but let's play the tune.
For the love of a friend, a laugh for the fools in the eyes of the world, a love that will never end. Ha! Ah! He can make things work. Tried to build a new Jerusalem and ended up with New York. Ha!
Quite the song, isn't it? I used to think that this was just some cute song till I took a closer look at the words. From nukes to newsprint nightmares, it's not exactly full of hope. No, as in our skits here this morning, Cockburn's laugh here is a cynical one. He's laughing at the darkness, at the absurdity of life, the impossibility that we can fix this old world. How can we even think of having a child? when all our efforts seem doomed. Coburn's a Christian, you see, but he's a Christian who knows how to kick at the darkness, a Christian who knows how to witness from within this world's gloom. It seems absurd, but can we find hope in the midst of real crises, crises like climate change, racial injustice, pandemics, polarization, and wars? Where can an aging church look to stop from despairing in this world? It's a big question to ask, and a hard question to ask on a baptism Sunday, I know. But it won't be long, Justin, before your kids have to kick at this darkness. They have to kick at it with us, too. For now, they're tiny tots with their eyes all aglow, but see, sooner or later, they'll realize that the world promises them a lot, especially at Christmas, and yet it rarely delivers. What will they do then? Where will they look to for hope? The older we get, the more impossible life seems. Isn't that how life strangely goes? As a child, our imaginations are endless, and our faith in our parents is huge. But it isn't long before we're laughing like Bruce Coburn or Abraham and Sarah did here at all the hard edges of life. It's hard to see much hope, to not get cynical of the future. I remember telling some old friends about our daughter's birth when their eyes just welled up with tears. And there was joy for us yet, but see, there was also much sadness there too. For years, they'd tried to have a child, but the doctor said, no, sorry, there just wasn't much hope. And I could see it in their eyes, the heartbreak, the disappointment. In Abram and Sarah's case, though, it was even tougher because, see, God had promised them a child. For decades, God had said, I will make you a great nation. I will give you offspring as many as the stars. But with each passing year, the stars twinkled merrily on, mocking them as they waited for even one star, one child, until they're 90 and 100 here, and the time had long since gone. It's no wonder Sarah laughed as she stood in the doorway listening to God's promise to her husband. A little late, wasn't it? It was 40 years now past possible. But notice Abraham laughed too. The great father of faith falls face down laughing when God tells him that his old lady will give birth. Look at our worn out bodies. You can't be serious here, Lord. Ha. Yeah, right. The laugh they laughed here was a laugh of disbelief. Not all laughter is the best medicine, you know. There are sarcastic snickers, there are mocking jeers, wicked cackles, plus those chuckles we hide behind to avoid our real hurts. Plus there are those bitter ha's when we've given up all hope. Have you ever been in that place of hopeless laughter, that place of, yeah, right, God? There's all kinds of bitterness we might be facing in our lives. The lack of a job, the lack of a purpose, the lack of joy or fruitfulness or in our work, or the loss of a relationship you thought was going somewhere or someone. And how about the loss of a legacy? You spent your whole life working for something of real value here in this world, but then suddenly you realize it won't last or there's no one to carry it on. I remain childless, Abraham complains here to God. Yes, there's pain of infertility there, but there's also the pain of having no heir, having everything he's worked for passed on to a servant and not a son. Abraham laughs bitterly because he thinks that all his work was for naught. How do we deal with the disappointments of life, especially in seasons like Christmas? When everyone's making merry, where do we stuff our sorrows and our doubts? How do we deal with a year gone by where we made the right move, where we tried to be faithful, and still nothing worked out? Where it feels like somehow we've slipped from God's plan for our lives. How do we listen to God's promises of a Savior being born when the salvation we need right now still seems so very far off? And how do we trust Him when, as in our skits here this morning, the future just seems so dark? But we want to laugh because life seems impossible. Well, the key, it seems, is to change the question, first of all, to change the question that we are asking ourselves. To stop asking a disbelieving question and start asking a believing one. This is what the Lord does first for Abram and Sarah here. He flips the question around. He says, "Why do you laugh and say, 'Can we really have a child?' when I am promising you that you will have a child? Is anything too hard for me? Is anything impossible for God? I will visit you, and next year at the appointed time, yes, in the fullness of time, it will happen. You will have a son. I will get the last laugh," the Lord says. And in one of the most delicious ironies then in Scripture, He says, "You shall name him Isaac," which means laughter, because I will make you laugh then for real. Not a cynical laugh, but a laugh of joy and of wonder. We have to turn the question from how can this be to how can it not be? How can it not be with God? You see, we can't stay cynical. We have the promises of God. If God says the future is bright, well, then it's bright. If God says something will happen, it is good as done. We need to let God be God, not confine Him to what we think is possible. At one point, my friends thought it was impossible that they would ever have a baby, but God has actually given them two now, two beautiful girls. And no, not everyone gets that prayer answered that way, as we heard from one of our couples last month even, and yet God still works. He's born great things through their lives. At one point, many thought it was impossible to believe in both science and in the Bible, or that the church can hold together with different views on sexuality and gender. But here we are, Neyland. Here we still are. It doesn't take a Hebrew scholar to get what the main point is here, though, of the birth of Isaac. It's that God keeps His word, His promise, even when it seems impossible. Now, the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah just what He had promised. Sarah became pregnant, and she bore a son at the very time God had promised. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter. Everyone will laugh with me now in joy and amazement." The great thing about God is He gets the last laugh, but not like a tyrant, you see. No, He wants everyone to share in it. God gets the last laugh, but it isn't a mocking laugh or a cruel laugh or a proud told-you-so kind of laugh. It's a gentle chuckle full of merriness and mirth. Can you believe it? God has done it. Just when we thought it was all over, just when we thought it was all hopeless, He's done it. He's birthed a new thing in this world. And see, that is the gospel, friends. The New Testament opens with a story just like this one about Zechariah and Elizabeth having their hopelessness filled, their barrenness filled, just like Abram and Sarah. And then an even greater miracle, a virgin giving birth. "How can I be sure of this?" Zechariah asked the angel when he told him his son John would be born. "I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." "How will this be?" asked Mary, "since I am a virgin." We always stumble on the how. But faith trusts God's promise that He can open new doors. And that's what Mary did. That's her real blessedness, not her innocence, but her faith. She's a model for us of trust in God's promise, trust in His work. As Elizabeth declares, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who believes that the Lord will accomplish His word." And think of all the miracles Jesus did then. Healing the blind men, curing the lepers, driving out demons, raising lost loved ones. In each case, these people had resigned themselves to their fate. They saw their futures much as closed. A cure not likely, a prayer not heard, a savior they'd been waiting for ages. Many were near that point there of abandoning all hope. But when they saw Jesus, they saw one who could do more, and they quit wallowing in those impossibilities. And that's the key, you see, to ask, is anything impossible for the Lord? What did Jesus say? Go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has reached out in hope. And that hope will not disappoint you. Is anything impossible for God? That could be the theme of the whole Bible, you know. We boil it down to things that we know or could control, but the gospel is far more wonderful, more absurd. God will restore this old world by taking our flesh and pouring his life into ours. Jesus died, and then he rose. So no, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Justin and Sarah, it takes faith to have a child in such a challenging world. It takes faith, it takes hope in a power beyond you, and it takes a good sense of humor. And I know that you have both, but whenever it seems impossible, remember we serve a God who loves to surprise us, who loves to laugh whenever we tell him there's just no way, it's impossible. He makes a way. He's birthing a new thing in this world. My favorite part of this story, though, is when Sarah denies it. I didn't laugh, she says, but God says, yes, you did laugh. Because I can hardly think that he's condemning her there. No, he's struggling to hold back his mirth. The child that he's promised will bring joy and hope to many, just as his own child will transform this dark world. And cynical laughter to real outbursts of joy. We don't live by just our plans. See, we live by God's promise. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith in his work. Why does God throw impossible situations into our lives? Well, to teach us to count on him, to bet our lives on his promise, to learn to trust in him more. To have faith like a child, to learn to live in his joy. So when you hear yourself laughing, ask yourself, how am I laughing? With bitterness or with hope? With faith in God's promise or just with fear in the worst? Abraham and Sarah's journey here is a journey from one kind of laughter to the other, from a hollow laughter to a laughter that's full of joy and full of hope. And ours should be too. That's the way that we should grow. Well, I should mention that Bruce Coburn has a Christmas album that's also a whole lot brighter than that song I showed you. But I do love actually how that song ends, the last verse. Did you catch it? It ends in the delivery room. He laughs in hope there with his wife. And I just want to close with this devotional now that my opa wrote, my grandpa wrote back in the year that I was born. Here's what he wrote back in 1982. It is simply ridiculous. Sarah knows that she is not going to have children anymore. God should know it too. And yet the Lord has promised that the Messiah will be a descendant of her son. That promise does not depend on the biological condition of this woman. It depends on his word. He is saying that he will do what he promised, even though the situation seems impossible. Of course Sarah laughs, for crying out loud. That is the problem with the whole gospel. It is all so ridiculous. I am a sinner, and God calls me righteous. I have no hope, and God speaks to me of a future. I have no talents, and the Lord tells me to use them. I see a church that is being defeated on all fronts, and God tells me that hell will never conquer it. Impossibility seems to be the theme of the whole Bible. We laugh, but he who laughs last laughs best. God laughs at the limitations we put on his power and faithfulness. That is the reason why Sarah's son will be called Isaac. God has made laughter. A reminder that salvation is his work in spite of all the odds against it. When I remember to look to him, suddenly everything is possible. All my sins are forgiven. I am a new creature. There is hope for this world, and a new Jerusalem is ready to receive me. As long as I listen to his word, I may have a good laugh. Sarah seems to have another problem. But when Isaac is born, everyone who hears will laugh at me. I know what she means. People will say, "Do you really think you can be righteous before God?" There will be smiles all around. I can even hear Satan laughing. But the good fight of faith is to overcome this reluctance to believe God's word. Who says that miracles don't happen anymore? I live in the great miracle of God's love in Jesus Christ. For laughing out loud, I don't care anymore about the laughter all around me. There's a joyful laughter now in my heart. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, this world is often so dark, but help us to laugh with your light. Help us to be Easter people, people who live in your promise. Help us to view the present through that promise, Lord, that you are coming again. Your light has dawned, and you give life abundance. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.